how to hear my guidance. This section is trying to tell us how you hear your guidance. Everybody with me on this? So,
you may have to say it several times.
I've been saying it to myself over and over again for 25 years, and it gives you some idea how much I need to hear. And then it also is a couple of paragraphs that it really looked like, and like I said, the basis, whether a person believes this or not about the Course in Miracles doesn't have anything to do with the value of the Course. But the Course strongly suggests that this is Jesus communicating through a Jewish atheist psychologist to correct the distortions and misperceptions about the love that he taught and how to get us back in touch with our own internal power so we can wake up to our joy. I personally was never too concerned about whether or not that was true, because the material itself was so powerful I didn't care where it came from. So that was my take on the whole thing. So that's about as deep as I can get with you about the origin of the Course. But so the reason why I'm saying it is because these two paragraphs that I'm going to share with you are two paragraphs that it sounds like he's directly talking to us. Okay? And you can see it as your higher self if you have a problem with Jesus. You can see it as your higher self. It says in paragraph 9, my mind will always be like yours. Okay? So our higher self is saying, my mind will always be like yours because we were created as equals. And Jesus says, it was only my decision that gave me all power in heaven and earth. My only gift to you is to help you make the same decision. This decision is the choice to share the decision for God. I kind of clarify what some of these "it" mean. Because the decision itself, to share the decision for God, is the decision to share. The decision to share is obviously made by giving. If I've decided to share something with you, I need to give it to you. And it's therefore the one choice that resembles true creation. So the one choice that we can make that really resembles what true creation is like is whenever we give or share. He says, I am your model for decision. In other words, I decided for God, so I showed you that this decision can be made. You could actually decide for love. We could actually decide for love, okay? And I'm also going to show you that you can make the decision. Now, we could also take this paragraph, and we could all apply it to each other and leave. If, for instance, I could go, my mind will always be like yours because you and I was created as equals. It's my decision that will give me all power in heaven and earth. And so the gift that I'm going to give you is I'm going to be here to help you make the decision for your happiness and power. See, that my gift to you is I'm going to be here to help you make the decision for your happiness and power. Now, my making the decision to be a gift to you was made because I decided that I was going to share with you the same choice that I'm making. I got this choice to claim my power, and I'm going to share with you that you have a choice to claim your power. And my gift to you is I'm going to help you any way I can to know your power, to know your joy. Okay? Then he says, the decision to share is made by giving, and therefore giving is the one choice that resembles true creation. Now, the Course says creation means extension. So to create means to extend. I love that. When it says God created you, you're saying, I am as God extended me. And then the Course says God means love, so you can get rid of the word God altogether and say, I am as love extended me. And that's the same as saying, I am as God created me. So the definitions that the Course gives you can help you get around the resistance you may have to the terminology that it uses. Because its interpretation of the terminology is nothing like the kind we learned in conventional religion, for the most part. There's one thing in conventional religion that I love is that it does say in the Bible, God is love. So love and God are synonymous. So, and the Course is only talking about love or fear. So even if it looks like it's complicated, those are the only two things it's talking about. And another thing with the Course to remember is the course is only really concerned of talking about our perception. And what everybody else get caught up in is the circumstances and stuff when they deal with the course. And again, you got to understand, the course is only talking about the way you interpret things. It's only trying to help us interpret things differently. That's it. It's not here to, you know, manifest our soulmate, get us the job that we want to get, help us lose 10 pounds. That's not the purpose of the Course in Miracles. The purpose of the Course in Miracles is to give you an interpretation of whatever you're going through that will allow you to have more peace. Because it says that if you can keep your mind peaceful, you can hear your guidance. And your guidance will tell you exactly what to do in every situation. Everybody with me on that? So because I'm studying the Course doesn't mean I might not ever be involved in a car accident. But what it does guarantee is that if I was involved in a car accident, I would have a way of looking at that that would help me get in touch with my guidance. Got it? You see the difference? Yeah. But I have noticed the more you do what the Course says, the more peace you have in your life, even on the physical level. There's no comparison to the drama in my life now and the drama that was in my life when I first, before I got into the Course. Even though the Course isn't really concerned with that. Okay? So, the reason why I'm in your life is I'm in your life to help you make the decision to claim all power in heaven and earth by claiming the truth for yourself. That's my gift for you. You and I are just alike because all of us were created equals. So to be like me doesn't mean that you look like me. But to be like me means you're equal to me. So being one means being equal. Being one doesn't mean we all kind of look out there and we just see this one. You know, because that's what everybody's trying to do. Oneness. You kind of look, you know what I'm saying? And the Course is saying, no, that just means, when I say I'm one with you, it means I'm equal to you. I got equal access to the power of God and the universe, just like you do. We both have, everybody has got equal access. We're equal. Okay? He says, the Course says, the one power that we have left in the world as children of God, as infinite beings that are now pretending we're bodies, so the one power we have left is the power of decision. Okay, that's the greatest, that's the power we have that most resembles creation, is that we still have choice. We can still decide. You with me on that? Everybody with me? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so before I go to the, I love this too. He says, I'm going to be the model. Okay, I'm going to keep on doing this first person. I'm going to be the model for the decision that I'm trying to tell you about. Because I'm going to make decisions for my happiness. And by you seeing me make a decision for my happiness, I'm modeling for you. And then you'll see you could do it if you see me do it. So I am a model for a decision just means I am going to show you that I decided for peace and I decided for God and I decided for love. And guess what? You can too, because we're equals. But I'm going to model the decision for you. I could tell you, I could say, look, man, things will go a whole lot better for you if you stop going off on people and choose for peace. Or you could see me not going off on people and choosing for peace, and I'd be modeling that decision. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be helping you choose for peace because I'd be constantly encouraging you not to attack. So that's my gift to you. I try to do everything I can to keep you from hurting yourself by modeling what peace is like. Even if I'm not always dealing with things that I particularly care. You know, I got a phone call this morning that didn't exactly make me jump for joy. And then I had to make the decision whether or not I was going to treat that like it was the solution to my problem was handling that phone call. Because my ego always tells me, as soon as I get this next thing handled, then everything will be all right. So it immediately shifted to the thing that came up in the phone call. Now all of a sudden my life would be great again if that thing got handled. And it did, and then it hit me that I have been saying that to myself as long as I have been alive. Not just since I've been an adult, but I've been saying that to myself as long. I told myself if I could get my little cowboy gun, then everything in the world would be going right. Y'all did the same thing. I wanted that train for Christmas. If I got that train, then I wanted that bicycle. And as soon as I got that bicycle, I was going to be happy. Then I promptly got that bicycle. And it was a better bicycle than I ever imagined I would get. promptly got on their bicycle, went out the street riding, and got hit by a car on Christmas Day. Then I said that I could just walk again. Then I you know, you seen the tent, because I was wondering about that, right? Because my foot was hanging off my leg. So all of a sudden, I realized I'm still playing that game today. I've never stopped playing that game after, as soon as the next thing changes, I'd be happy. So then I realized I had a choice to still come in here, be totally grateful. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, remember what I told you yesterday when you were reading? That's what he talks to me. Remember what I told you yesterday when you were reading? Whenever you are experiencing something that causes you any kind of worry or concern or fear or guilt, tell yourself, this is out of accord with my true nature. And I went, whoa, I had forgot about that. You know, to go, this feeling is out of accord with my true nature. This worry is out of accord with my true nature. This anger is, I feel it, I'm mad, but it's out of accord with my true nature. He says, I need to remind myself that it's out of accord with my true nature to have it dispelled.
Anytime you're feeling any
negative, tell yourself it's out of accord with my true nature. How are you feeling today? I'm feeling so out of accord with my true nature. You don't have no freaking idea, honey. Let me tell you. Then you can go into the details. Then all of a sudden you can tell them the form of how you are out of accord with your true nature. But the trick is to not get caught up in the form. To realize that the best way for me to solve the issue that came up in my life was to remember the truth. First, then go do whatever I felt like I needed to do at the level of the world to have that situation solved. But I had to tell myself, this is out of the core of my true nature. Then deal with the situation. Don't be in denial, you know. Still deal with it, you know. Okay, so what I want to do with you all is, what I want to do is I want to start modeling as much as I can. I want to start modeling the decision to claim my power and my joy. So you're going to see me radically allowing myself to be made happy any way that I can come up with over the next few months. I need a hug. I need a hug. Come over here and give me a hug. See that? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. When you get to the point, you don't even have to say nothing. I need somebody to come up here and give you a hug. Well, I can remember when it wasn't just light I wanted from a woman, so thank you. Okay. Amen. Okay. Thanks for the light, but that ain't what I was really wanting. This is what my ego would have said years ago. Okay. But. Thanks for the light. And I also determined just to be Earl. Now, that may look like I'm not acting like a teacher. Even though that's the best demonstrator or teacher you can have is somebody that's being themselves. But people usually look for teachers to act out a role that they made up in their mind for a teacher to be like. And I've decided to resign. And I'm just going to relax and be real from that. You know, because I was putting that limitation on myself anyway. But
You're pretty different from other teachers.
Thank you. Then I am being myself more and more and more and more. Yeah, because I'm just being real. I'm not trying to... That's all.
You're human, which nobody could identify with you.
Thank you. But sometimes people don't like to listen to people unless they think they're very different from them. That they think that you've got it all together, and then they'll come to your class because you got it all together. You know, that's why a lot of teachers keep a mystique about them, and they're not approachable. That's why you can't get to them, because they know at the level of the world that the more special they are, the more support they get. Because when you really just be yourself and you admit you learn the same thing you're teaching. Unless a person is very conscious, they don't appreciate you as much as a teacher, because they think you shouldn't be going through what they're going through if you've been doing it a long time. And they don't realize that you may be going through what they're going through, but you're not experiencing it the same way they are. You're not seeing it the way they are. You're not looking at it the way they are, because that's what happens over the years, is you just get more and more experience in applying these different ways of looking at things to your own situation. And so by me studying this 25 years, what I've actually done is saved you 25 years of study. And the course says that is what any relationship is supposed to do. It's supposed to save you time. You know what I'm saying? So I could take 25 years of study and 25 years of working with people and 25 years of workshops and 25 years of obsession, and I could take all that experience and I could bring it into this moment and I could tell you all some things that could probably save you a whole lot of time. And that's what I try to do all the time when I tell people, you're reading the book, don't feel like you got to understand one paragraph or sentence before you go to the next. You'll never finish the book. Okay? You just keep reading whether you understand it or not, and you're going to come across a sentence that's going to knock your head off in its power, and it's going to make everything that you've experienced up to that point make sense. You can analyze the course to the day you die, but analyzing is not going to do anything to help you understand the Course in Miracles except make you lose interest in it, think it's crazy, and just get frustrated. What makes the Course in Miracles work is remembering what it says. That's which is funny. It's like if I'm going to do a play and I'm going to be a good actor, I got to remember the script. And if I remember the script, I get paid. And I'll do what I was hired to do. So there are some things we're supposed to be reminding each other of. And just in the reminding each other of it, we are fulfilling our function. We're achieving the state of mind that doesn't block our good from manifesting. And that's all you want. You just want to have a state of mind that doesn't block your healing. That's all you want. You don't need to know all the details of how the healing is going to happen. You just want to get out of the way of the healing happening. Is that cool with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So that's why analyzing the course is fun, and I'm not going to tell you not to do it because that'd be crazy, because that's one of the stages you go through when you first study it, is that no matter how much somebody say you don't have to analyze it, you do it. Because you read it through your ego at first. And when you read the course through your ego, then your ego tries to confuse you and disorient you and also frighten you about whatever you read. And then you keep on doing it, and after a while you start to see the beauty of it, and you start to read it more and more from the loving part of your mind. And then you realize there's another book in front of you that you didn't see when you were looking at it through your analytical ego mind. And that book is so beautiful it'll bring you to tears. So it's two books in front of you. It's one book we look at through our fear, and then there's another book we see through the love and the peace. But in the beginning, it's usually the ego in charge of reading the course. So people just upset themselves and get frustrated, you know. And that's okay. I'm just telling you, if you're doing that, that's okay. That's a normal stage of studying the Course in Miracles. Just stick with it past that.
Because there's something, I just started reading it again, and talking about it in the beginning, about, you know, if you don't get these beginning principles really clear, that it can cause more fear.
Right.
And I've had a lot of
Right. Well, you know, like some people tell me, you know, I just pick the course up and I just open it up, and wherever it opens, I read it. And I say, that's great, but you can do that one day and you can scare the hell out of yourself, because you might see a statement like, the sick are merciless to everyone. And you look at that. And if you haven't been prepared for whatever came before that sentence, that would freak you out. Or you open your book up and there's a sentence that says, your ego wants to kill you. Period. And if you're not ready for that, then it would trip you out.
You know, I start questioning, you know, maybe I'm not ready, you know.
No, what it says in that section is that it's really important to study the first four chapters or whatever it was saying earlier part carefully, because you're going to get more and more direct approaches to the truth, and without that foundation, just what I was saying, you frighten yourself. But what I'm saying is that there is a part of your mind, and let's get this straight, course students. There is a part of your mind that is going to be frightened by some of the things that you are told. Okay, everybody with me on that? You need to get that. Then you won't be fooled when it happens, because the course says that, you know, spirit's joy makes the ego miserable. You know, learning the truth is not easy for our ego. It makes our ego miserable, because our ego is all about possession and control and manipulation and insecurity and mine, me. So anything that's going beyond that is going to be troubling to the part of me that doesn't know how to share, doesn't want to share. There's a part of me that doesn't know how to share. There's a part of me that doesn't want to share. And it stopped controlling me when I stopped trying to hide that it was there. As long as I was being nice, Earl, it was doing a job on me. So I had to understand I had a face of innocence, the face that looked like it was being acted upon by everybody around me, the face that is really nice and wouldn't hurt anybody except in self-defense, right? It's the face that's the good person in the bad world. Okay, of course talks about that because it's the face of innocence. See, it's right beneath that face is another face. And that face is the one that's always saying, I'm the victim of everything and I'm mad at everybody about it. That's right under the nice face. I'm a victim of everything. What I am is because it's your fault. The way I grew up is your fault. How I turned out is your fault. I'd be happy if you would. You know what I'm saying? He says under, right underneath the smiling face is the face that believes it's the victim, and that face is mad, and that face is angry. You know, and so what you want to do is get in touch with the part of you that made both faces. Instead of dealing with the faces and putting all your attention on changing the face, the Course says, forget all that stuff. Let's get to who made that face. That's who you want to get in touch with. And I went, woo, you're right. My ego always got me wanting to deal with the form of the illusion instead of teaching me how to get rid of the whole thing to begin with. It'll try to teach me how to get rid of my fear of this and teach me next how to get rid of my fear of driving, then my fear of relationship, then my fear of success. It'll just tell me to deal with all the forms of my fear. And the Course saying, well, why don't you just pull the plug in the bathtub and let all the water out rather than dipping it out by a teaspoon? And get rid of my fear of men, my fear of women, my insecurity. You know, just like in the bathtub, just dipping it out. And the Course in Miracles says, why don't you just reach down there and pull that stopper out and let all of it. And that's the level it teaches at. Let me get to the idea that's behind all your fear, which is you are separate. One more time. Hey, ho. Okay. Thank you, God. Because it gets serious sometimes. Like God said, too serious! Then God came right in. You know, because people want to get serious about this stuff. I just don't want to get serious about it. I really don't. Want to get serious. He said that's how I got here in the first place. So I'm not going to get too serious. And people who need serious teachers, they don't last around me too long because I'm too irreverent. That's what I love about the guy that does the disappearance of the universe. He's irreverent. I love him. You know. Okay, so who can tell me what is the gift that we can give to each other according to this paragraph, basically? In your own words.
Just be a model to others.
Okay, and how would you be a model for me?
How would I be? By being, just speaking my truth and being who I am and not putting on any false pretenses or putting anybody else down or giving advice to anyone or, you know, or tell them to follow me or, you know, just...
And all that, and every one of those responses is true. That would be your gift for me. And in terms of the form that he was talking about in the paragraph, he was saying my gift would be, just like you're saying, for me to decide for God, for me to claim my power, and then show you that that's possible to be done. Got it? Okay, then he says, now this is really good, it's going to get even better now. He says, I have assured you that the mind, notice whenever you read the Course, if you see a capital letter, you know it's talking about God level, right? He says, I have assured you that the mind that decided for me is also in you, which means you can let the mind that decided for me change you just as it changed me. You can let the mind that changed me change you. That's what Jesus says, and that's what I can say to you. Everything that he says to us, we can say to each other. I'm not as bad a guy as I used to be. I'm nicer than I used to be. So I can let you can let the man that changed me change you. Got that? Okay.
And that's powerful.
Isn't that powerful? And I love the idea of the man that decided for me. the mind that changed me, because I've been so busy trying to change my mind, I never asked my mind to change me. So the courts flipped that on me. So I started saying, today I got to let my mind change me. Instead of going, you know, I need to change my mind about that. I need to let my mind change me about that. I need to let my mind change me about you. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. I need to let love change me about you. Because that's mind. And all this synonymous. Until you see the capital letter, you know it's talking about love, no matter what words it's using. It's talking about source. And so he says, that mind is unequivocal. Now, what's an unequivocal mind? He said, that's a mind that hears only one voice and a mind that answers in only one way. So, my mind is unequivocal because I'll tell you what, I'm getting to the point that all I want to listen to is one voice. And as a result of listening to one voice, I'll just start answering people in one way. I just listen to the truth, so I just answer you with the truth. I'm just listening to love, so I just answer. I don't have a bunch of different ways of responding to people. I don't have a one way of responding to people peacefully. Okay? Then it says, you are the light of the world with me. I love that. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. I love it. You are the light of the world with me. He says, rest doesn't come from sleeping, but from waking. Great line. Rest doesn't come from sleeping. Rest comes from, you know, I rest in the world now because I'm awake. And when I was asleep, I was always scared and in conflict and worried. So rest, really, you don't rest till you know what's going on. Right? Okay. Then it says, the world is very tired. Okay. And then the Course in Miracles definition of the world is false perception or fearful perception. So if you say that instead of world, you get a whole different meaning. The false perception is very tired. Let me ask you this. Aren't you tired of looking at it the way that makes you afraid? Yeah, exactly. The false perception is very tired. The world is very tired. Then it goes on to tell us what? Why? Because the world is the whole idea of weariness. All the sense of weariness comes from the world. Turn on the TV. The book is just telling the truth. Then it says, our task is the joyous task of waking the world to the call for love, the call for God. Okay, boy, that sounds pretty big to me. My job is a happy job of waking the world to the call for love, for the call for truth. So I'm here to be a means for people to wake up to their own desire for love in God. I'm here to help you wake up to your own desire for love. And that's a happy job. Now, a smart being does this. They recognize what their spiritual function is. They decide that that is their primary reason for being here. Then they can make up however they want to do that, whether you want to be a teacher, a musician, an educator, a historian, a mechanic. All that don't matter. That doesn't matter at all. That's just the form you're coming up with to do your job. And more people too hung up in the form, they don't even know what their job is. And that's why they're not happy and successful, because they put themselves in the form, but they don't know what they're supposed to do with the form. So they sit up there at the job miserable, or whatever they're doing, they're miserable. And the truth is, I get up in the morning and I go, my purpose for being here is to recognize who I really am and get in touch with my source. That's number one. Now we drop down to Earl Purdy level. Now, what does Earl Purdy want today? You know what I'm saying? It's like, but I have to remember who I really am first, and not get caught up in the illusion of myself as my primary identity. That's the key, y'all. It's okay to be women. It's okay to be men. But you know, step it up first. Let's remember who we are beyond being men and women. Then we realize we're here to fulfill our function through this form that we're in. And you'll find your form of function a lot better. You know what I mean? You want to get in touch with the puppeteer, you know what I'm saying, instead of thinking you're the puppet. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get in touch with who's pulling the strings. That's why all I'm interested in right now. Who's pulling the strings? And the book said, you're pulling the strings, but the you don't know about, the you forgot about, So you're so far base, Earl, not only have you forgotten who's pulling the strings, you think somebody else is. And that's what your grievance is about. You mad at the puppeteer, and you think the puppeteer is your brother or sister. Because you handed them the string. You handed them the string, and then you mad because they got you dancing all over the place. I love it. How many of y'all been somebody's puppet? Hello. At any time in your life, you're your own puppet. How about that? Yeah. You can be a pretty much maniac puppeteer for yourself. You don't really need nobody else to yank them strings. You know what I'm saying? I'm amazed at the crazy stuff I made myself do. Earl, go get that phone number. Just walk right over there and hello. You know, I'm my own puppeteer. So it's hilarious. We're hilarious, but it looked, but now it's gotten all serious, hasn't it? Because it looks serious out there, man. Sometimes I look at the news sometimes, and I have to remind myself, God didn't create that, so therefore it is not real. It's not the ultimate reality. Like the workbook lesson says, do to it when you see that kind of stuff.
I have to laugh. I have the TV on all the time, and that, you know, and I asked for change in my life and that, and so I've always got that television on and that, and so it, the Nielsen report came to my house and that, and you know, I'm supposed to keep track of the TV, and so now I don't even turn on the TV.
Well, you have a pretty easy report to find.
Yeah, and besides, I didn't need that trash in my life, but that Nielsen report made me aware.
Now, I'm not going to be hypocritical myself, I'm not saying you are, but I enjoy TV.
Yeah.
I know that might not sound spiritual, but there are things I like to watch on television. And I remember a time when I was so spiritual, I thought it was beneath me. Oh, TV, how could you be a conscious and watch TV? Yeah. So, you know, it's like the spiritual ego is real funny too, because it's still judging everything. You know what I'm saying? But it's judging it for the right reason. So therefore, I'm not as egotistical as you. You know, but television is a great way to see how not to do every single thing if you want to be happy. It's a great way for you to see what not to do. You have people acting it out all the time. What doesn't work, what not to do, the attitude not to take. It's one of the best ways to learn how not to fall for your ego that you could ever give yourself if you looked at it correctly. But people are too busy judging it to get his gift, because we have forgotten that there's not anything in this world that can be used by Holy Spirit to wake us up, including TV, including what's already on TV, just the way it is on TV. That's deep, isn't it? Okay. Now, the Course says everyone will answer the call of the Holy Spirit or the sonship can't be won. You mean, I got a cousin I know is never going to answer the call of the Holy Spirit. So if the sonship can't be won to everybody answer, I'm up the creek. And so the book is saying everybody's got to answer the call of the right man or we won't be won. He says, so what better vocation could there be for any part of the kingdom? That's us. What better vocation could there be for any part of us than to restore everything to the perfect integration that can make it one or whole? Okay, so I'm gonna go out of, I'm gonna come back into consciousness on that. What could be a better way for me to live in this world than to be a part of the restoration of the peace?
Say that again.
What better role could I have in the world than to be part of the healing? What better role could I have if we're supposed to bring love and joy and happiness into the world and be an example that it can be that way? What better vocation could I have than to say, God, use me to show everybody it's possible to be loved? What better vocation could I come up with? And I like to do that through being a musician. Oh, I like to do that through being a course teacher. Oh, I like to do that through being an artist. See, the form don't matter, so don't worry about the form. See? But the main thing is for me to know that I want to be an example that it is possible to to be totally in love here. Just love it. That's what I want. That's what I want my vocation to be. I'll ask for that, since it says ask for it. He says, hear only this through the Holy Spirit within you. And I want you to teach your brothers to listen as I am teaching you. So right now I'm being taught and then I'm teaching you. It's like he's saying, love is teaching me and then the love in me is reaching out to you. So we're having the experience of this right now. And then you're supposed to take it and extend it out to the people in your life. That's the way it works. You turn around and you become a demonstration for the people in your personal world of what it's like when you follow your own heart. Okay, that was paragraph 2. Any questions about that paragraph 10? So it looks like for me, I need to remember that there's a mind that can decide for me. That was my jewel out of it. Every paragraph, I always try to look for what was the sentence that was mine. And the one for me was I need to start depending more on the mind that can change me and kind of let go of so much focus on me changing my mind. Because my mind changing me sounds more peaceful for some reason. It sounds like less work. Oh, yeah. So, anybody else have any comments, any questions about that paragraph? And I really appreciate y'all letting me go through the Course in Miracles with you in the Course in Miracles class. Thank you.
Thank you. So it sounds to me like it's like lead by example and then carry the message.
That's exactly what it's saying. But here's the cool part, though. The cool part is that you'll be given everything you need to do that. See, that's what I like about it.
If you get out of the way.
And you're getting out of the way just by reaching a level of consciousness that you can hear this. See, that's the part that's so cool. See, for you to be sitting here saying that to me means you're getting out of the way. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah.
When you're saying your mind, let your mind work for you instead of you trying to change your mind, is it more like a matter of not forcing yourself to change versus allowing yourself?
Exactly. Exactly. And when it says let your mind change you, it's talking about the divine mind or the greater mind or the infinite mind. Okay, it's not talking about the man I made up changed me. Because the man you made up and already changed you. He's already done his job. It's time to let that go. You did a good job, my man I made up. So changed me from this really good feeling I was having a minute ago to this really crappy one that I'm giving myself. Thank you so much. I almost felt good. It's funny. Have you ever noticed that sometimes soon as you say you happy, something happened?
Yes.
I mean, within like an hour, within like 30 minutes, someone will try to take your happiness away. Especially if you really mean it. I'm not talking like, well, I'm happy. But I'm thinking you really go, oh, man, I'm happy. You know, and so, and the Course answered that for me. You know, it's like there is a part of me that believes that my salvation lies in being punished.
Right.
For things that I think I've done in the past.
Yeah.
So the minute I say I am ready to be happy, then I am breaking the agreement. You know what I'm saying? And the part of me that believes I don't deserve that is saying, he said, the part of you that believes you don't deserve it is saying, you lying dog. You really deserve to get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
And then he said, pow! Then you attack yourself. And I went, whoa, that is deep. This book is so deep, but you know in your gut what it's saying is true. And that's what makes you mad. It's like you might not like it, but you know in your gut, you know that that's exactly what's happening. You know, somehow, for some reason, you think you don't deserve to have consistent joy. And then for you to even say for a second you deserve. Now, this wouldn't be meaning to someone who thinks that they're happy all the time. You know, like someone who thinks they're happy all the time, if they come to the Course class, I guarantee you they think they've come in the most negative room that they've ever come into. Because they are out of touch with their own feelings at a subconscious level. Because they think they could love everybody through and through and think that it would be possible to love anybody through and through and see fear anywhere. So the whole idea that they could love everybody but be in a world where people don't love everybody is total denial. So I don't even play. So it's like when people do that with me, I just bless them and I say, I hope it's true. That's what I do in my heart. I say, I hope it's true. I don't believe it's true, but I certainly want that to be true. Because you and me, and I'm you, and I can tell you right now, I got some fears I'm going beyond. So if we're one, guess what? You have some fears you're going beyond. Because we're one. So it's, you know, but I try not to mess with people. Sometimes the most happiness that people let themselves have is denial. And I don't mess with people who want to stay in denial. You know, I don't want to get them out of denial and then don't really have a way to heal them. That's not fair. You know what I'm saying? You think you're happy, I ain't gonna mess with you. I'm gonna be glad for you. You know, especially if you think you're happy and you're telling me you think you're happy, and everything you think you're happy about is about something outside of yourself that seems to be going the way you want it to. I know that's not real happiness, but I'm not gonna try to change your mind about that joy you're feeling. That'd be cruel. Follow what I'm saying? But I have to stay conscious that that person doesn't know what real happiness is. That's all I need to do. Remember, I said earlier, you know, rest comes from waking. So if I'm with somebody and I know that they're not conscious, then they're much less likely to hurt me because I stay very aware of how I interrelate with them. And you know what I'm saying? So that's how I keep myself from being hurt like I used to be hurt. My awareness protects me. This book has taught me how to tell when I'm talking to a part of my mind that has, you know, is insane, maybe cute, maybe extremely nice, can cook really well. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, being able to cook don't mean you're sane. You know what I'm saying? Being able to drive doesn't mean you're sane. You know what I'm saying? Being able to put your clothes on doesn't mean you're sane. Being able to talk English doesn't mean you're sane. You know, what's sane is what's loving, what's extending, what's seeing you as equal, what's trying to help you make you be happy, what's assuming responsibility for itself, which values freedom. See, you know what a sane person act like. They're going to be reminding you of your innocence. They're going to be letting go of the past. They're going to be wanting to be in touch with their source. They're going to be wanting to be joyful. It's like you know how to tell when you're dealing with what Course calls the sane mind. But that doesn't mean you attack the insane ones. They're just calling for sanity. They are needing you to give them an example of what it's like to treat yourself right. So they can start doing the same thing. Because they're equal. They have the same capacity to be healed as I do. They just need an example. Too much about what we read about God, to me, it sounds like it's too abstract. Where I don't see people demonstrating what I'm reading in these books. I just see a lot of people talking about it. So I decided I was going to try to demonstrate it, and man, that was a trip. Because demonstrating, it brings a lot more stuff into your life than talking stuff. I'm going to give my mate freedom. Doing that is totally different from talking about it. You know what I'm saying? We'll say all this stuff in these spiritual classes, but the actual physical expression of it, you'll find that most spiritual students are not any different from the people who never pick up a truth book. In terms of their physical expression of the truth. You know, they have the same wishes, the same desires, the same, you know, the person that's unconscious wants a house, or the person that's spiritual wants a house. Oh, you know, the only thing that's different is the one who thinks they're spiritual is trying to use a very unconventional way to get the house than probably the person who's in the regular mind. We're going to use affirmation. We're going to use visualization. We're going to use healing our mind. We're going to use treasure mapping. We want the same thing that anybody else wants. We just want to use a different method. I want one person to love me above all other people, and I'm a spiritual aspirant. What does the guy next door want? I want somebody to love me beyond all other people. But the way I'm going to get that is through control. The spiritual person says the way I'm going to get that is through forgiveness. And through learning, you know, but it's the same goal. And so the Course is saying, as long as your goal is the same, then you are the same. So I'm no different from the person across the street that's never picked a book up if I want the same thing they want. The only thing that's going to really make us different is for me to really have a different goal from them. And my goal is not the house, even though I love to have a nice house. My goal is to recognize who I really am, to get in touch with my spiritual identity, and to really know love. Now that's a different goal. Now I'm different. Now I'm moving into another level of consciousness. See the difference? So don't worry about, it's nothing wrong with wanting the really nice, luxurious things, the things. You know, it's okay. Don't get me wrong about that. I'm not advocating not in having, you know, your cabin in the woods. It's all about what do you want the cabin in the woods for? Do you want to use that cabin in the woods to wake you up to your true identity? Then the cabin in the woods is working right in line with your divine purpose. You see what I mean? If I wanted the cabin in the woods just to make me special, then I'm moving right along the line with my ego. And so I'll experience the ego lesson, which is that, which means the cabin in the woods is going to give me some kind of fear. You know, when I'm serving my ego, I can just be, I know whatever it is I'm manifesting, it's going to always cause me some kind of fear. My car is going to give me some fear. My mate's going to give me some fear. My job. Why? Because I'm in my ego at my job. But my job is neutral.
See, this stuff always just brings me an honest feeling of relief.
Me too. That's why I do this, because it gives me an enormous feeling of relief. It used to make me, at the beginning, it was disorienting, and sometimes it was frightening, and sometimes it made me think I was going to lose something. But now, all I feel whenever I read the Course is release. I just feel more, like somebody's finally telling me the truth. Like somebody's finally being straight up with me on the spiritual path. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like with the Course. Like somebody's finally being what I call real. Mm-hmm. You know? Ah, and that's what I love about this book. It's so real. Like he says, you know, I want you to teach your brothers to listen as I am teaching you. I actually think that was like, God was, now what's deep about that? That's very obvious. You tell me the truth, I'm going to pass it on to you, and then you pass it on to the people around you. That's not complex. But here's the thing that will make the biggest difference going out in the world. I'm going to say it one more time so I can remember it too. Your personal desires, the house, the car, the job, the look, the clothes, the money, the prestige, all of that is nothing but the form that you get a chance to do your function through. But the important thing that brings all of the harmony and power into our lives is to know what our function is and to be willing to be happy here so that we can show others it's possible to be loved and happy here. That's our function. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Do a little quick review after I do the after I beg, then we'll come back to this and take care of it. Okay, here we go. I have to laugh at money. I grew up in a house where money was God. The lack of it. And so it became God. I mean that's all I heard about. And so I really saw that affected my perception of money, you know, and I was taught to associate money with fear, you know, and so I had to give myself an extreme example of letting go of that fear by choosing to live in a way that I'm sustained by giving, which is the last thing you think a person who grew up with lack would do. They would be trying to make sure they had it so that it was guaranteed every second they can think of it. You know, so I have to pat myself on the back for the way I live. And I want to pat you on the back for the way you live. Because you're also trying to do the same thing I am. You're trying to claim your power. So thank you for sharing with me. You're trying to claim your power. I'm so glad y'all let me really, really, really get down in the Course like you like you're really supporting right now. I can't tell you how much that means to me. I got all these years of being into this book, and if I don't say what I see, sometimes I feel like I'm a pop. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I gotta let y'all see what I'm seeing from where I'm seeing it at. You know? Because when I look down at this book, I see a simplicity that knocks me off my feet.
Simplicity.
A simplicity that I can do. Mm-hmm. That's what really blows my mind.
Well,
And it says that, it's funny, it's a course that actually has a line that, that responds to that. It goes, this is not hard. Yeah. It is very different.
Different.
And I really got that. It's not really asking me to do anything. Okay, what is it asking me to do hard? Well, the first thing it says is, you don't have to believe the ideas. Then it said, just apply the ideas even if you don't believe it. Say it even if you don't believe it. Say it or think it even if you don't believe it. And that's not hard. It's not hard for us to say something we don't believe. It's just different. But the truth is, we say stuff we don't believe all the time. That's why it's funny when people say they can't do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many times does an average person during the day say something they really don't believe? You had the cutest little pants on. Yeah, I love being here at this job. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm okay. It's like we can't say what. It's so funny. It's like we can't say what we don't really believe. And so the book is saying you don't have to believe it and just say it even if you don't believe it. Because if you do that, all you're doing is creating a mental condition of openness that allows God or the Creator or the Source to come through and heal the situation. That's all I'm trying to do now. I'm just trying to get a state of mind. I don't have to know everything now. And it's so relaxing not to have to know everything, because I already know what I need to know about the world. So I'm not like an ignorant person walking around and they can't handle it. So I know about the world. I love how this thing is set up now. Okay, Earl, know what you know about the world, and you don't have to know about anything else beyond it, because I let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. So whatever you don't know right now, you don't need to know it right now. Mm-hmm. And whatever you do know right now, that's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it talks like that. And it's like, it makes perfect sense. But it's just hard for you to believe that it could be that easy.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem comes with the course. You mean what I already know is enough to know? Then your ego intellect goes, well, you know, you should always be learning. You should always, okay, learn this. So much about, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you need to learn so much. Here you go. You got 1122 pages. Come on, baby. Learn. He said learning is a skill that we made up to convince ourselves that we were different and alone. That a creator doesn't have to learn anything. Learning is something you do to teach yourself stuff that's not true. And I went, whoa! And that's exactly right. I come here like a little baby, goo, 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 and just loving you and just loving everything y'all love. Then you teach me. You know what I'm saying? That I am taught to feel separate from you. And I'm taught to be afraid. And I'm taught. Learning, he says, but spirit is going to turn around, take the skill you made up, called learning, and is now going to give you a new learning that will free you and take you back to your natural state. So now you can still use your learning skill, but now it's not going to hurt you like you used it in the past. So your ego can relax. I'm going to use everything your ego is made out of, everything your ego likes, to wake your butt up. And that's going to be the game we're going to get ready to play. And you're going to enjoy this game a heck of a lot better than you enjoyed the game of fear. Are you ready to play now? For real? And that was like, man, so that's what I'm going to ask you all. Are you ready to play now? For real?
Today my lesson is my grievances give up the light of the world in me. And all morning I've been like, oh.
Yeah. My grievances hide the light of the world in me. That's a trippy one. My grievances hide the light of the world in me.
I never realized I had so many grievances.
You think you start trying to apply it, and all of a sudden you say, here's the one, I'm still alive. That's what I see. Some must love me. You know. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we have a Kick Butt Thursday night class. It's a great class, too. We invite you to come to that. And then the Sunday at 1, and I'm speaking at the 11 o'clock service. So I want to invite you to come to that, too. And I'm available for one-on-one sessions too. And I appreciate you all. Thank you so much for accepting my gift. And I want to be a really good mom. I was talking to Tara Banks yesterday. And Tara Banks is a model. And she's going to give me some tips on how to be a better mom.
So,
that's right. That's the Sunday I did my truth walk. You know what I'm saying?
I'm your model for decision.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Woo, hugs are available, and I'll see y'all when I see you.